Disney buys Pixar.
Hey, you want to run Linux on your Intel Macintosh?
We announce our Irox keyboard winner.
All that and more on show number 66.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast. Podcasting from the MyMac.com studios, it's your hosts, Tim Robertson and Chad Perry.
And as we record this, it is Thursday evening, and we're about a day late than we usually are.
Yeah.
No Guy Searle's dashboard minute this week. I'm not sure why. He didn't contact me. I think he had tonsillitis.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's really true, but...
Or he could have been just really busy. You know what, guy? You know, guys, one of those jet set types. So.
Well, yeah, flying all over the world and meeting beautiful women, and probably not. But we're gonna have kind of a. I think it's probably going to be a short show. Of course, we say that sometimes. Then we look up at the running clock, and it's like, wow, we've been doing it for 56 minutes already.
Yeah.
But this time, I really think it probably will be. There's just not a lot of Apple news going on right now.
Yeah, and we took a little break from the interviews for this week. Next week, we'll be over at Ted Sheeler's house. For you long-term listeners, you know Ted's been on the show a couple of times, so we're looking forward to going over
it. Ted's a graphic designer for a really respected graphic house, I guess.
Yeah.
And... Tad's is a lot of fun. He shares a lot of the demented sense of humor that we have.
Mm-hmm.
While we're there, we're going to record probably at least two video reviews.
Yeah.
Neither one of them is going to be very long. We've got a speaker system that we need to... this is unlike a speaker system you've ever seen. It's totally bizarre. And so we'll go into that. And we're also going to review a backpack that will... work with your iPod, which
really?
Is kind of neat. Yeah, you know, it's not an actual shipping product yet, so what we've got isn't from the manufacturer's... what am I looking for?
The final release
unit. It's pretty much... This is a marketing unit, exactly.
I think it is a Gold Master unit, I guess.
It looks nice, though. I'll give them that. And there's at least two other products winding their way through the... FedEx or UPS system to me, and I know one of them's another backpack system.
Hmm.
I don't know how I became the backpack reviewing person already. That's pretty much Owen and John's.
Yeah, they love doing the bags and backpacks.
Yeah.
Backpack
well,
stuff,
the first one got sent to me kind of by mistake, I think. And then I get a message that from this other company that they really liked my writing style, and would I be interested in doing a review of their. It's not really a backpack. I'm not quite sure what it is. It's to carry your portables around in.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I'm going to do one anyway, so I can just do a video review and have a couple of them in here.
Yeah.
So that's coming. And we'll do some other stuff. And, of course, the regular podcast while we're there.
Yep.
Be fun. Let's see. We've got a little bit of news that I thought was interesting, so let's jump right into that.
Yep. First, we've got Disney buys Pixar. So this is Disney makes the purchase of Pixar for $7.4 billion in stock. And that is B as in billion. Steve joins the board of directors at Disney. I think he has a 60% controlling share is what he gets out of this, if I'm not mistaken.
And I know a lot of people are asking, what does this mean for Mac users? What do you think? I think probably nothing. At least not right away. But when and why are we going to talk about it? Well, when a story is, has this much magnitude with direct ties to Steve Jobs, we in the Mac community, we've got to ask ourselves, what's mm-hmm. this mean? In all likelihood, the immediate change for Mac and PC users we'll see is that there'll just be more Disney-owned properties going up for sale in the iTunes Music Store.
Yep.
Many people may be asking if Disney buying Pixar has any similarities to Apple buying Next Computers back in 1996, and I talked about this last week.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, probably not. Then again, Apple purchased Next to give them a leg up on the next generation operating system. Disney, from an outsider's point of view, in other words, my point of view, is buying Pixar to fix their ailing animation studios.
Yep.
So it's no secret that Pixar movies have just creamed in both sales and popularity, not to mention critical acclaim. anything Disney has produced in more than a decade. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just not even close. The Pixar movies are just, they're fantastic.
Yeah.
Adults like them, kids like them. They're huge.
Well, and I think the other thing Disney has been wanting is John Lasseter, who's the creative director for Pixar, I believe.
To move into that role at Disney.
Yeah.
And I read another report today that John Lasseter's already made a big decision at Disney.
Mm.
He canceled Toy Story 3.
Did he?
Yep. Effective immediately, production on Toy Story 3 has done. He said Disney only wants to focus from this moment on stories that's original.
Thank you.
And that if there was enough unanswered questions or that sort of thing from the original and a sequel is warranted, then the only people who should do that sequel is the people who created the first movie.
Right.
And because of the arrangement Pixar made with Disney initially, Disney had the legal right to be able to make sequels to any Pixar movie that they distributed, including Toy Story. Yeah. So Pixar themselves did Toy Story 1 and Toy Story 2, and they were both great movies.
Mm-hmm.
There was no need to make another Toy Story movie. That story has been told. Time to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Disney wants to milk that cash cow a little bit.
Yeah, but they do that with everything.
I mean, everything.
How many spinoffs have there been of Lion King now?
Oh, it's just horrible.
Yeah.
And some of them not even a spinoff. Some of them, this is what these other characters are doing concurrently to the rest of the movie that you saw.
Mm-hmm.
What? That's stupid. But, you know, they're bringing Pixar in and putting John Lasseter in that role. Mm-hmm. I think, just knowing the brilliance of John Lasseter, right. And I can only go by what he's done for Pixar over the last, 12, 13 years?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be major shakeups at Disney. I think he's probably going to make a lot of people at Disney upset. And I think for us, the people that go to movies and enjoy them, it's only going to get better for us.
Well, if what you're saying about Toy Story 3 is true, then definitely kudos for him. I think that's a great call to pull that trigger right now, because that does need to stop at Disney.
It seems to me that, in some respects, already you're kind of already getting that little tease of what happened when Apple bought Next. The Next people moved in and pretty much displaced all their Apple cohorts almost immediately. I mean, once Steve Jobs got that iCEO title, boom, Next just, everybody who was in charge at Next became in charge of Apple.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were like, oh, this is horrible, and this is going to crush the spirit of Apple. Well, look where Apple's at now.
Right.
Look where Disney's going to be in a few years.
Mm-hmm.
I am, and it has nothing to do with Max, but I am kind of sad to see Pixar go, at least as an individual entity. Because it was just such a brilliant place.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only companies like that that come around, you know, maybe two or three times per generation. Apple was one of those companies. Pixar, obviously, was one of those companies. HP back in the 70s was one of those companies. So you don't see that kind of creative spirit, that kind of so far ahead of their competitors as Pixar was, as Apple was, as HP was in their day. So it's kind of sad to see them being absorbed into the larger company.
Well, so what do you think is going to happen? Do you think that Pixar is going to lose its culture to Disney, or Pixar culture is going to infiltrate Disney?
I think the Pixar culture is going to infiltrate Disney big time, and I think that needs to happen.
Yeah.
You read all the horror stories and the creative people who leave Disney for greener pastures because they just can't get anything done at Disney because it's such a bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. And that's how movies are made at Disney.
Right.
That's not how movies have been made at Pixar, and you can see the difference in quality in the pictures. So we're almost 9 minutes in, and we're still talking about Disney and Pixar.
Yep.
Looking to get your Linux on. Red Hat, the popular Linux distributor, has publicly stated they are working on bringing Linux to the new Intel-based Mac computers in 2006.
While there is no word out of Apple or Microsoft yet about the possibility of booting and running Windows natively on the Apple Mac hardware, the news from Red Hat is good news indeed for those wanting choice in their operating system.
So there you go. Probably fairly soon you're going to have multiple OSs on the new Intel Apple Macintosh computers, and if you have a choice between running, I don't know why anybody who's a diehard Mac fan would really want to buy and run Linux.
Mm-hmm.
But what about a Linux person who wants to get out of that Windows laptop or desktop and get a Macintosh, so if they want to do something else that Linux is incapable of doing or it's just too much of a hassle, they've got the Mac OS with its Unix underpinnings sitting right there. I think this would this is a great idea. Mm-hmm. And I also think you're going to start to see a lot of Linux type of programs migrating over to the Mac because of it.
Yeah.
If you're sitting on the same machine and you compile it for Linux, mm-hmm. well, why not go ahead and make a Mac version? Because all you have to do is, you know, switch over to the Mac OS and you could test it right there on the same machine.
Yeah.
I just think it's a fantastic idea. And obviously, I probably won't get a copy of Red Hat Linux for Intel Mac, but
mm-hmm.
I think it's a great move.
Yeah.
As an interesting aside, I know we were talking about Disney a minute ago. Did you know that Apple is technically a bigger company than Disney?
As in?
That's what I read, that it's a larger company.
Huh.
I don't know if that means they make more money, they're worth more, or they physically have more assets.
Yeah, I mean, there's Macworld, but that's not owned by Apple, so.
Well, but when you look at all of Apple's assets, they're huge.
Right.
They're a big company now. And I don't think Disney is really as big as a lot of people like to think they are. Yeah, they own a lot of television networks, mm-hmm. but that's not an asset in the traditional sense. So, I don't know. I just read that Apple is technically a bigger company than Disney. Hmm. And I thought that was interesting, and maybe some of our listeners can maybe look that up and see what quantifies that statement. Why is Apple bigger than Disney?
Yeah.
What makes Apple bigger than Disney?
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of want to know, but I kind of don't feel like looking it up myself. I'm just so busy. And you know what I've been doing lately. So.
Right.
Go ahead.
Oh, the iTunes Music Store has many more videos for sale now, and we're going to just take a look at what is out there.
Yep. While we're recording the podcast, and I haven't looked earlier, so I kind of wanted to do it live on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Live from their hard drive, I guess.
Yeah.
So we're going to jump over to the Music Store in iTunes and click TV shows. And let's see what we got. Well, right off the bat, I can see right in the middle, Dora the Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
My 2.5-year-old will love that. Let me click on Dora and see what that is about. Oh, they can buy the entire first season of Dora the Explorer for $29.97. 26 episodes. I think that's going to be great. My daughter will just love it. I wonder what the preview is.
Hi, Boots! Oink, oink, oink. Oink, oink, oink. Animals go oink, oink, oink,
oink.
Chad!
Hey!
Hey, right. Yeah, yeah! Yay, yay.
Okay, there's Dora the Explorer. You know, I listen to the podcast usually when I drive my mm-hmm. older daughter to school, and the 2.5-year-old she's like, no, I want music. She doesn't want to hear the podcast.
Yeah.
Even though it's dad talking, it's boring as hell.
Mm-hmm.
So I know she's going to be listening to this either tomorrow or like Monday, and she's going to hear Dora and go, it's Dora! Let's see, they also got some SpongeBob SquarePants. You can buy the entire first season for $39 and, what is that, and 80 cents.
Hmm.
And that's 20 episodes. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, SpongeBob.
Look at Beavis and Butthead. I'm surprised.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, that's amazing. And that's, you know, Volume 1. It's only 9 episodes for $17.91. But I wonder, what is that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
Beavis and Butthead. Or which episode you mean?
I kind of like doing this. This is playing a little snippet as we're talking about it. What else is new here? Let's go to Comedy Central. That's nice. I'm glad Comedy Central is in there.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they do have. I already have the DVD sets, but
yeah.
They do have the first season of
South Park.
$25, 13 episodes. Mm-hmm. They have. Oh, geez, there's just a ton of them in there. That's Mecha Streisand, one of my favorite shows.
Eric, keep quiet. I'm trying to sleep. Now, can anybody tell me who left these arrowheads here?
Isn't that your job?
Well, yes, but I want to see if you're learning anything.
Oh.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Why don't we all grab our little anthropology pickaxes that were handed out and we'll dig for our very own Indian arrowheads.
Yeah! Day's never finished. Master got me working. Someday Master set me
free. You gotta love Cartman. Drawn Together's in there. Stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. The best of
best of stand-up.
Yeah, that might be pretty interesting. There's 10 episodes. Each one's about 21 minutes. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in there. Some of them are very explicit, it says.
I watched the Super Bowl again this year because I am an idiot. I've watched every Super Bowl. I've watched every Super Bowl because I have no religion. And I think it's important for man to have a ritual. And the Super Bowl is on once a year on Sunday.
Pretty good. That's Lewis Black.
Yeah.
So that might be pretty fun. And you know, stand-up comedy, boy, you could almost listen to that on your iPod.
Which I have. I mean, I do have several artists that that I listen to once in a while at work when I want to just break the monotony up and get myself to loosen up. So
MTV has got some... did we already go through MTV?
Well, we went through Beavis and Butthead, but we haven't been through all the other MTV
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, they've got Gauntlet. I don't know what the hell that
Gauntlet
is.
Gauntlet 2, Super Sweet 16.
What is Wonder Chosen?
I have no idea.
It's the show your only friend and pastor have been talking about. I've never, ever heard of it.
Neither have I.
1592 for 8 episodes. I have no idea what this show is. I've never heard of it. Oops. Come on. Click. I clicked it. Come on.
There it is, right up there.
I know what this is.
I just gotta sing. Oh, the sun is shining on a cloudy sky. The grass is green as the birds fly by. The tree's so tall and lovely. What's wrong, little flower?
Who's making it? Who's your friend for
okay, no. That's probably one I might skip over. Jackass, which is one of the worst shows I've ever seen on television.
And Punk'd.
I actually enjoy Punk'd. If I see Punk'd on as I'm flipping through the channels, because they play pretty much good-natured, trying to catch celebrities in funny situations. That's not too bad. So there you go. There's some sci-fi. SoapNet. What is SoapNet?
Soap operas.
You're kidding me.
No.
The newest way to watch soaps.
There you go.
What is the N? The N is a network. I've never heard of the N. South of Nowhere. With South of Nowhere, it's not where you've been, it's where you're going. And I'm going to another page. Okay, Nickelodeon, NBC, MTV. Is there any new stuff from NBC out there now? Let's see. Surface, The Office.
Law and Order, SNL.
Yeah, it's all the same stuff that was up there. Oh, no way.
The A-Team at night. Well,
oh, night, yeah, boy. The first season of the A-Team.
For $28.
You can't beat that, dude. That is like...
Survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, no one else can help.
Flashbacks to the 80s. The A-Team.
MyMac.com. We like to talk about all the Mac stuff. See, I'm just making that up as I go. Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, it fits pretty good.
Pity the fool who's been listening to this podcast all this time. What are you, stupid? That's what your problem is. You're stupid.
That's really bad MTV, or Mr. T.
That is a bad Mr. T.
Mr. T. If Mr. T, if he was on MTV, it'd be Mr. T on MTV.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
No.
No. So anyways. So that's some of the new stuff up at the iTunes Music Store. We're already 20 minutes in it, and like we're just screwing around.
Yeah, pretty much.
A lot of people thinking, you know, I downloaded this podcast, and I'm like listening to snippets from the iTunes Music Store that I could do on my own. Get to it, guys.
Yeah.
Macworld.com over the past 2 weeks has been publishing first look articles on all the announced new Apple products from Macworld Expo.
They include a first look and real world speed test of the new iMac, GarageBand 3, iPhoto 6, iWorks, and more.
Check it out at Macworld.com. And, some of those have been really, really handy to read.
Yeah, I think the best one was the speed test.
Well, I really liked the iPhoto 6 one, too. That, yeah. That clued me into some of the things that I didn't really know about.
Hmm. If you're a Mac user and you need a hosting service for your website, why would you want to host your site on anything else but a Macintosh? Innotech has been hosting the MyMac.com website for over 7 years, and we wouldn't have it any other way. Are they the cheapest web hosting company in the world? No. Do they offer the largest amount of server space or bandwidth in the world? Of course not. But with Innotech, you don't get pie-in-the-sky false promises, just the best customer service, the most popular hosting service plans, and everything running on the latest Apple Macintosh server gear. Check them out at www.innotech.com/mymac for special pricing. That's www.inno-tech.com/mymac. Innotech, the trusted web server of mymac.com for over 7 years. That's like 49 dog years.
And thank you, Innotech.com. We had a contest last week.
Yes, we did, for another iRox keyboard. Thanks to iRox USA.
Let's give it away. I drew a name, and we've got a winner.
Yep, it's David Stone from
High Point, North Carolina.
Yep.
You know what? I called last time, so this time we'll have you call.
Oh, you're much better at it.
No, you got to do one yourself. I got to make some noise because I almost heard the phone number.
Yeah, hang on. I'm going to kind of put my hand in front of the mic, and I'll just talk over this while we make a call, so none of you can call David Stone and talk to him about how well he likes his iRox keyboard.
Okay, you can move your hand.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that looks right.
Calling.
So let's give him a call. And the sound quality was pretty good on the last call. It's almost 7 o'clock North Carolina time. He should be there. Okay, you're going to do it.
All right.
Come on, David.
Hello?
Yes, may I speak to David Stone, please?
This is he.
Hi, David. This is Chad Perry from the MyMac.com podcast. I'm calling...
Hey.
How you doing?
Okay.
Calling to let you know that you've won the iRox keyboard from our last contest giveaway.
And Tim Robertson here, too, and we're actually recording you right now over my little cheap cell phone, holding it up in front of the speaker, so you'll actually be on the podcast that you can download tomorrow.
All right.
Well, thanks for listening to the podcast. We just wanted to give you a call and let you know personally that you won the keyboard, and we'll have iRox USA ship you out that really neat glow-in-the-dark keyboard, and hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
You bet.
I like your podcast.
Oh, thank you.
What kind of Mac do you use?
I've got an old G4 Tower. I've got an upgrade card in it.
So you're probably running at what, probably 1.2?
Yeah, 1.4, I think.
1.4?
Yeah.
So now that the new Intel Macs are out, are you going to buy one soon, or you think you're going to wait for a little bit?
I'm going to wait a little bit. I've got a client that I work with that's going to get one, so she'll be my guinea pig.
You're a smart man, David. Well, congratulations again. We hope you enjoy the show, and we hope you enjoy the keyboard.
Yes, I will. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And now, Not Mac News. Chris Siebel.
First off, a little non-Mac news. Disney has purchased Pixar for $7.4 billion. Reaction to the move has been mixed. But Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer said he saw the move as a perfect fit. Quoting now, Steve Jobs has been pushing a Mickey Mouse operating system for years. Now he can push Mickey Mouse theme parks. Ballmer then began dancing and sweating profusely while screaming developers over and over. In other news, the Mac turned 22 on Tuesday. The machine said the last important birthday was the one where it turned 21, and that all it had to look forward to now was lower insurance rates when it turned 25. Not Mac News, a MyMac.com exclusive. Emergency exits are located in the fore and the aft of the aircraft. I'm Chris Siebel.
We
Were you lucky enough to get an iPod for Christmas? If you did, now maybe you need some accessories. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics. We're the largest Apple dealer in New England, and we've got iPod accessories coming out of our... Oops! We've got a lot of iPod accessories, like the Small Dog Groove Cube, a portable pair of speakers for your iPod, which cost only $29.95. Or the HipPod, a hip-attaching carrying case with external speakers for $25. Stay warm this winter in a Burton iPod jacket. For the family, maybe it's time for a home theater system. We bundle a Mac Mini, THX sound system, and an LCD projector. It's adjustable up to 300 inches diagonal for only $1,400.
Hello, this is Berkey from Small Dog. Check us out online at smalldog.com or come visit us at the Small Dog Showroom in Waitsfield, Vermont, on the way to Sugarbush and Mad River Glen.
All right, one of the things about Small Dog Electronics is, you know, they're not just an advertiser with us.
Right.
And on the website. And I know this is true for you as well. We both actually spend money at their website. We use Small Dog Electronics because we like them. And one of the things you can do at Small Dog Electronics is sign up for their newsletter. And it's called,
Kibbles and Bites?
Kibbles and Bites.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really well written. I've actually offered for them to put them up on mymac.com on our blog side.
Because
I think a lot of people would enjoy it.
And yeah.
Honestly, it'd probably be really good advertising for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's no extra work.
Yeah.
And it would be just, you know, if you like these newsletters, they can get to you via email every time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not giving them extra advertising here. Excuse me. I wanted to read something that I found quite humorous, and this is from their Kibbles and Bites number 446, and it's not dated, but it's, you know, it's been a while. It's been like a month since this one came out, and now I lost my place here, so I have to do a quick. Okay, here it is. And on this Kibble and Bites, they're talking about the Small Dog podcast is online.
Yep.
And we've talked about that in the past, that they have their own podcast now. I think they still only have one podcast up.
Yeah.
But they have recorded another one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to Don Mayer via iChat a little bit about the new podcast that's going to be going up online pretty soon. And it sounded pretty fun.
Yeah?
Yeah. But when I first read the announcement that their podcast is online, I thought, well, that's great, because Don at Small Dog, who also does the podcast with Don, Don and Don Show, I guess, had asked me a lot of questions about how to do a podcast. And I was very encouraging them back in the day, a year ago. I was like, you guys should really do your own podcast. I think it'd be great. You know, you'd have a lot of fun. Great PR for you guys.
Yep.
And people are looking for content, and if you guys can provide interesting content, they're going to download it.
Yep.
And so now that the podcast is online, and Dawn wrote this little article in the Kibbles and Bites, and the only reason I'm reading it is because of it mentions me in here, and I thought it was really funny. And it says, our podcast journey goes back months. When I first mentioned that I thought we should do one, somehow, something always got in the way, and things stalled until the time Don was interviewed by the Tim Robertson from MyMac.com podcast. Did you catch that?
The Tim Robertson.
Yeah. Don was interviewed by the Tim Robertson. How about that? I can start putting the at the beginning of my name.
Great.
This is the Tim Robertson.
Yeah, as long as you don't start referring to yourself in the third person. Tim Robertson thinks that this is a big mistake for Apple.
I'm not a professional basketball or football or wrestler. So.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was really funny that it's the Tim Robertson.
Yeah.
So, the Tim Robertson, the king of no media. I got obviously, I'm looking at a couple of feedbacks here real quick. Oh, I hate when I accidentally click and I bring up my dashboard widgets.
Yeah.
It's like, get out of my way. I'm trying to do something. By the way, we do have a couple things I want to go over. A couple software things that I thought was kind of neat. And an article that I read over at the unofficial Apple Weblog. We'll get into that in a minute. But this was not podcast related, but I talked about this product on the podcast months ago. So I thought I'd... let's see... I'll move this over. I'm reading it off my laptop. It says, hi, Tim. I'm very interested in getting a document scanner for my Mac home office. I read your Amazon.com review and listened to your podcast review of the... Oh, I guess it does have to do with the podcast. He did.
Yeah.
Podcast review the Fujitsu Scan Snap. It sounds as though this item would meet my needs, but I am concerned about one thing. For now, and probably for another 6 to 12 months, my main computer is an iMac G4 with USB 1.1. Did you test this product at all with USB 1.1 or only USB 2.0? I know that it should be backwards compatible, but I don't want to have a detrimental effect on the speed of the scanner. I'm currently using a flatbed Epson Stylus Photo RX 500 over USB 1.1, and it scans at a fairly decent speed for a photo scanner. Any advice you can give would be much appreciated, Keith. And I wrote back, I connected it to my keyboard 1.1 port, and it was about two-thirds the speed, maybe a little bit slower. So if you're still on an older Macintosh and you have USB 1.1 rather than 2.0,
mm-hmm.
Yes, you can use a scan snap. It will work. It won't be quite as fast.
But that's still a pretty fast scanner.
Oh, did I ever show that to you in person, how fast that thing scanned?
No. We talked about it. But.
In fact, my wife has a project from work in which, and you work with her, so you know, mm-hmm. that she has to scan a whole bunch of documents as a PDF and put it on a CD-ROM. And she was asking how she could do that, and I was like, honey, we have that scan snap. That's
mm-hmm.
it's ideal. You just load it up as many as you could put in there and hit scan, and it would just go whoosh, 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 and it will put it, and it will automatically create the Adobe PDF for you. Mm-hmm. If you want to rename all of the documents, you have to do it a little slower. But I don't know what I don't know if they just need a PDF on there or they need them to be named or what. But this is exactly what this unit is made for.
Mm-hmm.
So sitting at my Mac, she can sit there and scan them all into a folder, and then burn a Mac and PC disk from the folder that she scans them all into.
Yep,
that's perfect. It's exactly what she needs. In fact, did you know that she's actually not going to work tomorrow?
Yes, we discussed it already. and that's why when you bought the ScanSnap, it was so apropos, because I'd said, you know, the ScanSnap would be ideal for this application, because what we have at work is we have some very nice print centers, printer, copier,
faxes. Probably, emails it to you or something?
Well, and that and the fact that you always have to walk over, put it on the actual
flatbed
surface, scan it in, lift
forever.
It up, put another one in. Yeah, so it's not near. It's not going to be near as efficient as a scan snap.
No, and the scan snap is just so fast. I mean, she's going to be able to get a lot of work done. I mean, she'll probably be able to do 500 sheets to 5 on a flatbed. I mean, it's that much faster.
Yeah.
I wish that the loading tray was a little bit bigger on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that I foresee maybe being a problem, that she just can't put so many on there.
Yeah.
But that might be a good thing, because if a document that she needs to scan is 2 or 3 pages, she doesn't want to load them all up with all of the documents, because it will all come out as one single PDF.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to want to put, you know, these two documents, which go together, scan those in. And the scan stamp does scan on both sides of the paper.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably an ideal solution for what she's looking for.
Right? Oh, absolutely. I think it was a great idea.
Yep, absolutely. So thanks to Fujitsu for sending me that review unit and not sending return shipping.
Yeah.
Because they're not getting it back now. Usually we have to send back all hardware that we review back to the manufacturer. But it's a policy at MyMac.com that none of the writers are going to pay return shipping out of their pocket.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, if you want us to review your product, that's great. We'll be happy to. If you want it shipped back to you, that's fine too. We don't mind doing that. In fact, mm-hmm. that's pretty much the standard business practice for MyMac.
Right.
But you have to pay for return shipping. We're mm-hmm. not going to pay that ourselves. I was seeing if there's... Okay, yeah. I got an email. I'm going to bring this up. From Rick Stringer. And do you remember talking about Rick Stringer a while back?
Wasn't he one of our winners?
Yeah, he was the winner from MacSales.com of the Mini Stack.
Oh, yeah.
And
sure.
That's the one that I sent him when I shipped it out to him. I actually put our videos on there.
Yep.
And all of the podcasts up to... whenever that was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick is in Traverse City, Michigan.
Yep.
And I just say Michigan.
Michigan.
He's from Traverse City, Michigan. And Rick was actually one of the people we were talking about possibly going up to Traverse City and recording a podcast there sometime.
Yep.
And he sent his own he sent an email to me telling me that he has created his own promo.
Really?
And I was like, Rick, dude, that's cool. Send me a promo and we'll play it on the podcast. Maybe we can get you some more listeners.
Yep.
So it's not about Macs, and that's fine. In fact, I can only take so much Mac news in one day.
Yeah.
You know, I want more content in podcasts. It's not just, well, here's the news. And,
right.
You know, so take a listen to his promo, and if you think you'd be interested in it, go to the MyMac website, look for the show notes for show 66,
and I'll have a link up there.
Yeah, we'll have a link to it. So here's Rick's promo.
Variant Frequencies, your speculative fiction dial. Find us at www.variantfrequencies.com. Variant Frequencies is a podcast that stretches the entire bandwidth of genre fiction, modulated by a constant element of the fantastic. Every month, we give you a new story, so tune in, turn the volume up, and let some of our weird carrier waves distort your reality for just a little while.
So that was, it sounds pretty cool to me.
Yeah.
I told him I definitely would listen to it. He says it's not for kids. This isn't something that you want little kids listening to. It's more adult-oriented.
Uh-huh.
And they do have a longer promo up on their website, which I thought was a little bit more informative.
Mm-hmm.
And I might play that, too.
Yeah.
Like, we ought to play the longer promo for them?
Yeah,
let's play it. Here's a longer promo. Rick wasn't expecting it, but you know what? What the heck?
Give you a little more information on what he's doing.
Variant Frequencies, your speculative fiction dial. Find us at www.variantfrequencies.com. Variant Frequencies is a podcast that stretches the entire bandwidth of genre fiction, modulated by a constant element of the fantastic. Every month, we give you a new story produced and performed by Rick Stringer, as well as guest dramatic readers, and written by our Variant Frequencies staff. Matt Wallace will navigate worlds where techno-noir meets visceral horror, bring you dystopian visions of the past, present, and future. Space adventure, tough guys of every stripe, and a little sex and violence just to keep things interesting. Ann Stringer explores everyday life from a not-so-everyday angle, stretches time and its limits, and creates heroines whose wit and familiarity draw you into worlds you may not know, but might just recognize. Our goal at Variant Frequencies is to entertain and expose you to our work, and we work hard on every story you will hear. So tune in, turn the volume up, and let some of our weird carrier waves distort your reality. For just a little while.
Yeah, I think that gave a little bit more of a...
That was helpful.
Yeah. Now you know what it's about. I mean, I liked his other promo, but it really didn't tell you enough. Mm-hmm. I wanted more.
That's a cool idea.
That is.
I'm looking forward to hearing the podcast.
I'm definitely going to go check it out. I just haven't been able to put the time together to sit there and enjoy it the way I want to, which I think it deserves from just listening to that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and jump to the next thing. Excuse me. I was just mentioning this, that... I don't remember where I found the link at, but over at the unofficial Apple weblog site, writer Damian Barrett wrote a short but amusing article titled Common Mistakes Made by a New Mac User, and I printed them out here, so let's just read some of these and maybe...
Sure.
Go ahead.
Number one, they close an application's window thinking the program is quit.
I can't tell you how many times that I've gone to a new Mac user's house to explain stuff to them, and they just, they'll click the red button thinking that the program's closed.
Yep.
They even did this on the old Mac OS.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to explain to them, you know, you closed the window, you didn't close the program.
Yep.
And that's very hard for a new Mac user to comprehend that.
Yeah. Number two, they'll download Firefox and then run the browser from the disk image and then not be able to throw away the disk image because the program's still running. See number one.
Yeah. I've seen people run programs from a disk image.
Yep.
And they thought they had to keep the disk image forever, because that's where the program was. They didn't realize, no, you just, from the disk image, you just drag that file out and put it in your applications folder.
Exactly.
You copy it. It's just a means of downloading and compressing that file, and then it gives you this faux disk image, and then you just copy it from that, and then you could throw the disk image away.
Yeah, don't waste hard drive space keeping all those disk images, please.
That's right.
3. .exe files lie scattered around the desktop from aborted downloads of Flash Player or some screensaver cursor spyware doodad.
I can't. And it's not just you know, Flash Player or spyware crap that they downloaded. New Mac users don't understand. They don't really understand that this is a program that will run on Windows.
Mm-hmm.
They go, well, so I can't use it. No, you're running the Mac OS.
Yeah.
So how can I use it? You can't use it. It's for a different computer system.
Yep.
Like a Dell? Yes, like a Dell. Will it also work on an IBM? Yes, it'll work on any PC except the Macintosh.
Yep.
It's very hard for new users if they didn't come from the Windows world, if they're completely brand new to computers, to really wrap their head around that.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand why that's such a something hard to comprehend. Well, it's just a program. Why can't I run mm-hmm. it? Well, it's for a different type of computer. Well, should I have bought that computer then? That's when you're like, I don't want to go down that.
Yep. 4, Untitled Folder, Untitled Folder 2, Untitled Folder 3, Untitled Folder 4, Untitled Folder ...
Ad nauseum. Yes. Why is it that new users just create new folders so much? I can't tell you how many times I've gone to someone's house, and they've just got like all these empty folders. It's just untitled. I'm like, mm-hmm. why do you have all these folders? And they'll say the same thing every time. I don't know. They don't know. They just something happened, and they kept saying new folder, and mm-hmm. or they're hitting the desktop keyboard equivalent,
yep.
and they just keep making new folders.
5, using Safari's Google search field to get to hotmail.com.
I don't want to say who, but I know someone who... I try to explain that to him over and over and over what the address bar in Safari is for. Mm-hmm. If you know exactly where you want to go, you can type in the address. Just go mm-hmm. to www.hotmail.com, hit enter, and you'll go to that website. Now, yep. show her where to do that in the address bar in the mm-hmm. web browser. And invariably, I go back, and I say, okay, let's go to Hotmail. Mm-hmm. And she'll go over to the Safari search engine, type in www.hotmail.com, hit return, get the search results at Google, and then mm-hmm. click that search result to get to Hotmail. And I'm like,
No. 6, the desktop picture, or wallpaper is not a synonym for screensaver.
Yeah, that's pretty self-explanatory.
Yep.
I thought those were... Damien did a really good job on that list of 6 mm-hmm. items. And here are some of the ones that I've seen myself. People keeping every .sit or .dmg file ever downloaded scattered all over their hard drive. They just don't throw anything away. They mm-hmm. downloaded a program, they uncompressed it, and then they copied it. But then they still have everything that they download. Well, yep. don't I need the SIT file? No, that's just the stuffed version. And you copied that, and you uncompressed it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need that? No.
Yep.
Well, I've got a whole folder full of these .SIT files. No, just throw those all away. It's really hard to get a new user to understand that, you know, what an SIT file is. So
yep.
I thought that was something that I've seen so often that I just wanted to talk mm-hmm. about that. And, boy... The next one, the super clicks.
Where they simply click, click, click the mouse over and over until they see the applications actually started?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't understand when to double click and when to single click. For instance, in the dock, single click.
Yep.
If it's a window or your desktop icon, double click. Any link in a web browser, single click.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, when you think about it, as an interface design... Why do you have to double-click some things and only single-click other things? Mm-hmm. Does that really make sense?
No.
I don't think it does.
No.
That's very... It just doesn't make sense. And trying to explain to someone, well, why do I only click once in the dock, but I have to click it 2 times on the desktop?
Mm-hmm.
How do you explain that?
Yeah, that is kind of a problem. But that's the same thing with if you're in a Windows environment, too.
Yeah, and the only way I've ever explained it and made people understand is some things are used to launch the program, such as the dock.
Mm-hmm.
However, there may be times where you need to click something and you don't want to open it, such as if you want to change its name. Mm-hmm. Anywhere you cannot change an application or a document's name is a single click. Mm-hmm. If you can click it to change its name, it's a double click. So if you have a file on your desktop and you want to rename it, obviously you have to click it first, mm-hmm. wait for a second, then click down and say where the little letters are, and then retype in the name. But if it was only a single click to launch that document, every time you went over there to click it to change its name, it would launch the program.
Yeah.
And then you couldn't change it because the program's open.
Yep.
So that's the only way I've been able to explain why that is, but that's kind of why you need a two-button mouse, I think, so you can right-click it to change the name.
Yeah.
And then everything is one click opens the file.
Mm-hmm.
So we already did our winner.
Yep.
And by the way, I know I played Rick's promo, and if you are one of our listeners, and if you're listening to this, you obviously are.
Yep.
And you have a podcast on your own, let us know and send us your promo. We'd be happy to promote it. And of course, the promo doesn't have to, or your show doesn't have to have anything to do with a Mac.
Right.
If you're one of our listeners, you've got your own show. Dude, send us an email. We'd love to play your promo.
Yeah, we'll be happy to put your promo up.
Yeah, we'll steer some of our listeners over to your show.
Yep.
If you want to do the same for us, that's cool. If not, that's cool too. Because some shows, like for instance, I don't think Rick's show, from what I'm hearing in the promo, it really doesn't lend itself well to playing promos to other shows.
No.
It's more of a dramatic series.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear promos for Trucker Tom's podcast on his...
I don't even want to hear commercials on his podcast.
And so
if I'm sucked into the story, don't stop it.
Don't stop it, because I'll be completely taken out of it. But that doesn't mean people can't play his promo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like this whole, well, I'll play your promo if you play mine. No.
No.
If you've got a promo that you like us to play, as long as it's appropriate, don't send me any X-rated stuff, because I'm not going to play those.
Yeah.
But if you're one of our listeners and you have your own podcast, send us a promo, or at least send us an email where I can find your promo. Mm-hmm. We'd be happy to play it.
Yep.
Because we're nice like that.
Mm-hmm. Now you were telling about an application you just found.
Yeah, two of them. The first one I want to talk about, I was reading Bakari's 15 Tips Screen Capture article posted up at mymac.com.
Yeah, I read that the other day.
Yeah, and I decided to give Screen Capture Plus, that little widget, a try.
Mm-hmm.
See, I wanted to grab some of the screenshots from a DVD and use them as part of a DVD case insert cover I was creating. And I think you saw the printout.
Yeah.
I've got the first two seasons of American Chopper on DVD. Unfortunately, each CD or each DVD comes with its own case.
Yeah.
This takes up a huge amount of space. Mm-hmm. I think there's like 15, no, it's more than, it's like 19 altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And online I found these DVD cases that can hold 6 DVDs, and it's the same size as a regular case. So I was like,
cool.
Man, I can like cut out, a ton.
Oh, save huge amount of shelf space.
And so I bought those, but I wanted to put some kind of a custom sleeve in the case so I know what's in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also doing this I've subscribed to like Xbox Magazine or PlayStation Magazine. I get all these demo discs and they just get lost really easy. So I'm using these cases for those too.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to create sleeves for these so I know what's in there. But going back to the American Chopper thing, what I want to do is take a couple like screen captures for each disc that's in there and put those on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Apple's screen capture tool, you can't even run it if you have a DVD player running. It just doesn't allow that.
Yeah.
I think it's copyright or something. I don't know. I think it's stupid. But I remember reading Bakari's article that you could do that. You could take screen snapshots with this widget.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, how does that work? Because if you bring up a widget, it kind of like darkens the rest of the screen.
Yeah.
How am I going to take a screen snapshot when you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you bring it up and you go to that widget, and it will let you take, a portion of the screen, a whole window, the whole screen, whatever.
Yeah.
As soon as you click what you want to do, the widget stuff goes away.
Mm.
Your normal screen's up, except for your cursor's now a little camera. And then you put it over a window, and boom, you take that picture.
Cool.
So I was using that widget to capture these pictures from the American Chopper DVD set.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just shrinking them down and making them
manipulate
look good.
Manipulate them.
Yeah. And I was building the cases in, what was I using? Adobe Illustrator.
Hmm.
It's just a fantastic widget, it really is. And it will save in multiple formats, so if I want it to be a TIFF or JPEG or a PNG file, no problem. And it just works for like a charm, and best of all, free.
Yep.
Gotta like free.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, I found this. I couldn't remember where I got it at first, but then I remembered when I was over at the unofficial Apple weblog. Uh-huh. They had a link to this program, and I checked it out. By the way, that I don't have the URL for the... I'll get the unofficial Apple weblog URL for those who haven't been there yet. I'll put that in the show notes. It's a cool website. I like it. Mm. But they had this link, and it's for Photo Deluxe 1.5. In essence, it puts two pictures on your desktop. It's kind of like little Polaroids. Mm-hmm. They actually look like little Polaroid pictures. The pictures float above your normal desktop picture, and you can place them anywhere you like. Some of the options include placing the picture anywhere, resize them, rotate them, and it works with your iPhoto library. This is a really neat program, and it's freeware. And I'll post a link to that as well on our show notes, show 66. Go to show notes, and you'll find a link to Photo Desktop. It's really neat. Mm-hmm. You can zoom in on a picture up to a certain extent, zoom back. You know, I sometimes on my desktop, I don't want the whole desktop to be someone's picture. You know, the kids or my wife. Yeah. But this is really neat because it's really easy to change. What I would really like is if this was a... and then maybe it is, I don't know. If this was, say, a widget, that I could control it from a widget, that'd be even better, I think. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I put this application in my dock, and I just click that, select which picture I want to change. My iPhoto library is right there. I select the picture. I can zoom in, zoom out. I can rotate it a little bit however I want. And I can put, I drag that picture wherever on my desktop that I want. So if I've got... For instance, I think most people are this way. When they launch a program, the program's always onto the right-hand side of their computer screen. Right. I don't know why we do that, but we do.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I put those Polaroid type of pictures on the right-hand side so I can still see them when the rest of my screen is, you know, got a web browser running or whatever. I think it's a really cool program. I think more people would really enjoy it than know about it. It's so, you know, it's just really cool. So if you guys know of any program like that, send us an audio feedback. Explain to us why this program is really cool and other Mac users should check it out. Mm-hmm. We'll post a link to it in the show notes. We'll play your promo or your audio feedback. And, you know, we're a community of computer users. Let's share some information. What can we do with these computers that you're not doing already?
That's right.
You get all these photos that you take in iPhoto. It's nice to be able to look them on your screen without having it be your whole desktop picture, which you can't see half the time anyways because you got Windows open.
Right.
Or when you run your screensaver, it's nice to see them then. Mm-hmm. But just think about they're just little frames that kind of float there. And obviously, if you have icons or whatever documents on your desktop, it'll sit on top of the picture. So it looks like your desktop picture. But it just opens up a way to view your photos more often in a, I think, a really unique way.
Yeah.
And check it out, and I think you'll like that program.
Mm-hmm.
One last look up at the MyMac website, see what's going on at the moment. Bailey, who hasn't written for us in a while, and he came back with an article called Back to the Future, and it looks at a article from Time Magazine in 1995, looking at what the future is going to hold, which was, I thought that was kind of humorous.
I love his little discussion about virtual reality. That was fun.
That was great. Owen Rubin posted a blog called Flaws in the Core Duo. Definitely want to check that out. Might be some problems out there with the new Intel chip and the Macs, and I don't know, maybe and maybe not.
We've got iTunes 6 and iPod book review by Bakari.
Donnie, being the cutting edge guy he is, sent a thumbnail celebrating Disney buying Pixar.
Yep, he's also got Maxpiration 19, the download drawer 3, which is Web Browsers Aplenty, talking about using different web browsers on your Mac.
My Mac Podcast 65 was posted on Tuesday, and that wasn't Chad or I. That was our London Bureau Chief,
David Cohen,
which is Chad's lookalike. And so that's up there. It was a great podcast. Really enjoyed it. Thank you very much, David, for recording and letting us share that podcast with everybody. Another thumbnails is up there called Podsicles.
Yep.
I think that's kind of self-explanatory.
It goes along with the iMacaroni and cheese.
That's right. And he has an article, it's just Donnie Week here. who needs a telephone when you have a computer? When he did the interview here on the podcast.
His first impressions on using Skype.
And I thought that was really interesting. MyMac.com is hiring. Are you an experienced Are you experienced in advertising? Are you looking for a position that will pay you a percentage of the money you generate by acquiring advertisers? If so, email Tim Robertson at tim@mymac.com, and we will talk more.
Yep.
And I do have the review of the KR6810 XM Slim Lighted Keyboard. Of course, we gave one away this week and last week from iRox. And John Nemirovsky has an iPhoto 6 commentary from Jeffrey McFeeters.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey was writing for us for quite a while. He kind of dropped off the radar for a while. And I really found his commentary on iPhoto 6 enlightening.
Yeah.
I still want it. I just have to pick up iLife 6.
Yeah.
Haven't done it yet, but oh well. Roger Bourne has a couple, let's just say a couple articles up there.
Yep.
I posted a blog called Checking In with Vista, and I look at Windows Vista, see what some of these new technologies are.
And if it's ever going to come out this year.
Yeah, well, well, you know, 10.5 is technically supposed to come out this year.
Isn't the end of this year they're talking about?
Yeah, they said Steve Jobs last year at the WWDC said that 10.5 would come out this year. So I hope he's right. I hope that we see 10.5 towards October, November would be just fantastic. Not too close to Christmas. I can't spend too much money around Christmas on frivolous computer stuff. And that's pretty much it right now.
Yep.
Obviously, we post new stuff pretty much every day. If you know how to sell ads, let us know. We are looking for help, like I said. If you are an aspiring writer and you're looking for a new home, mymac.com is always open to suggestions. Just drop me an email at tim@mymac.com. Please send all... I didn't know yours. Never mind. Send all feedback to the podcast at
podcast@gmail.com.
No, sorry. See, I knew Chad wasn't really listening. He was shutting down his laptop over there, so I sprang this on him just to screw with him.
Yeah, send all comments to mymacpodcast@gmail.com.
And if we had a contest this week, where would that go?
That would go to contest@mymac.com.
Ooh, you're the man.
Yeah.
That's the show this week. We're going to jump out of here, and we will see you... are we going to be Tuesday?
Tuesday.
So
Wednesday. Tuesday night, Wednesday, we'll be
having a new podcast. Wednesday, we'll have a new podcast from Tad Sheeler's house.
Live from... Well, almost live
from your hard drive.
Yeah, live from your hard drive.
And hopefully nothing will go wrong. And if it doesn't happen, something comes up, we'll just
do a regular podcast. We'll
do a regular podcast. But really looking forward to going over to Tad's house and giving him a chat.
Yep.
See you next week.
See ya.
Just listen to me for a second.
Yeah.
Okay, I realize you've got a problem. I'm here to fix it. I'm not here to listen to you complain about everything about Apple Computer.
Well, this is the complaint department.
Oh, this is not the complaint department. This is the tech support department. I'd be glad to fix your problem, okay?
Yeah.
Do you want me to help you?
Of course.
Okay, well then, I'll help you, okay?
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.